Just a follow-up from last week's share, we can still talk about Shofar a little bit. Jeff pointed out to me, he just heard about Shofar on Shabbos Shuvah, so it's safe. Just make an interesting connection of something we spoke about last week. We spoke in the Halacha share last week that there's a minig in Klal Yisrael to cover the Shofar. Almost every community you'll go to, except for the Teimanim, almost every community that you'll go to, you'll see that the Shofar is covered during the Bracha. Some shuls, the Baal Tekeh, will hold the Shofar under the covered Shofar, but it's always covered. The Shofar is covered in, I think, every community I know of besides for the Teimanim. And in some Kehillahs, they cover the Shofar during, anytime it's not being used. It's like hidden and covered. And the question is, where does this minhag come from? Not only where does the minhag come from, the minhag seems to be against halacha. Because in halacha, we know when you make a bracha on something, you're supposed to hold it in your hand. You make a bracha on the lulav and esrog, it's supposed to be in your hand. You make a bracha on the fruit, it's supposed to be in your hand. So where did this minhag come from? So I heard Gevaldik that the minhag is first brought down in the Sefer from Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Turnow. Rabbi Isaac Turnow was one of the miyaste haminhag. And there, someone wrote an addition, and he wrote that you should cover the shofar. But they found later, instead of the lashon of lechasois es ha-shofar, it was lenasois es ha-shofar. Why? That you should test the shofar out before you blow it to make sure it actually works. You don't want to make a bracha l'shmeichel shofar, nothing comes out. So the original text was lenasois with a nun. Over time, the printer changed it from a it was supposed to be lenasois to test, and it changed into a chaf lechasois. And that's the minigarim azen. Every kehil you go to, they cover the shofar.
It's a mistake.
So it's typo. Now, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, everyone covers it. So the Avni Nezer, the great Avni Nezer, came up with a pshat. This connects to last week's share. What was last week's share? If you remember last week's share, we had all back and forth. Is the mitzvah of Shmaya, is the mitzvah of Tkai. So the Avni Nezer said, just like you cover the challah before Kiddush, because you don't want to insult the challah, you're not making a bracha on it also. Since we paskin that the real mitzvah is Lashmaya, so what's the shofar really? It's not a cheftza shel mitzvah. It's just a hechatimza to produce a sound. And so since the whole shofar is there just to produce a sound, you don't want to make the shofar feel bad. So that's why we cover the shofar. We cover the shofar not to insult the shofar, because he's not really he's not the main event. If the mitzvah would be tkiya, so he's the shofar, he's it. But since we pass in Lishmaya, and the real mitzvah is just the sound, and therefore says the Avdei Nezer, that's why the minhag wasn't Klal Yisrael to cover the shofar. Now that's not, doesn't work beautifully with what we said last week, because what we said last week is both. So, but just a nice connection to what we spoke about last week. But this is the minhag almost b'chol tefutzas Yisrael, is to cover the shofar, and it's probably most likely all a typo from the word lenasais to the word lechasais. Amazing, amazing idea of how halacha works.
Yavinez is saying against this typo?
No. He's assuming it's not a typo. This is a recent development. God. Recent historians who spent time delving into manuscripts. Oh. He assumes it's a minhag. Many people trump it up to, when you don't know something, you either call it a Yerushalmi, like we spoke about last week, or you call it a Kabbalah. It's a Sifre Kabbalah. So many people just, they say, it's Zoyar, it's Kabbalah, but I've heard from historians, they don't believe there's any Kabbalistic background to it. It's most likely nothing more than just a typo. I did find, I was actually looking in a safe about the Chafetz Chaim the other day. What? To test the shofar to make sure it works. Because we have a minhag that we cover the shofar before the bracha. So I heard from historians that the minhag really was the original print said le nasos, to test the shofar before you make the bracha, make sure it works. But it, over time, the nun turned into a chaf. And that's why people cover the shofar. It's mamash a typo. I grabbed a double check, because remember, if we spoke last week about the Yerushalmi and the Chafetz Chaim, I double checked and I remembered correctly. Okay, I'm not getting that old so fast. That the reason why the Chafetz Chaim started putting on a Beinu Tam Tefillin was because of the Yerushalmi and Kachin. And his son said to him, but you know, that's been debunked already, that Yerushalmi. He didn't want to hear about the Chafetz Chaim. I don't care. Fine, I know it was debunked, but I'm sticking with my Tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. And that's why the Chafetz Chaim wore Tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. Because. That's right. That's also like that, 100%. We don't realize how essential the printers are in Judaism. Very quickly, we'll tell you another example. I think I might have spoken about this once in Halacha Shir. When you dochen on Yom Tif, we only do very, very, very infrequently here in the Chutzlar. So we dochen. So what do we say? So when the Kayanim are chanting, so there's a Yehirat, the Ribayin Shalaylam, and then there's a Yehiratzen. That Yehiratzen has no basis for it. Totally made up, totally no source for it. I don't say it even, because it's made up by it's a beautiful tefillah, but it was inserted by the printers many years later. If you look at the Marsha in Maseches Brachas, he says he's supposed to say the Ribbono Shel Olam three times. If you look in If you look around, you'll see many people. So I don't say that. I don't say that Yiratzin. Why do so many people say, because it's such a beautiful tefillah, how can you pass it up? It's a beautiful tefillah, it doesn't have any source for it. So I don't say that tefillah. I say the Ribbono Shel Olam three times. So the printers have such, that's the whole Goshem and Geshem. Why are so many of the original American Siddurim Goshem? Because the Germans were the first ones to print here in America, and the Germans held it was Goshem, not Geshem. So the printers have such an impact on Judaism.
There's
two sheets. That's not a mistake. Okay. There's two sheets is what the problem. But again, Ruba de Ruba, 99.9% of people think Goshem is not correct, and Geshem is more correct. There you have a Messiah, I'm not going to lie. That's not totally out of left field. But here, this whole thing was a typo. It should have been Lenasois instead of turned in Lachasis. Okay. But that's the, that was the, there's other terutzim they give to this minigar. One of the terutzim they give is because, the Medrash says that when Avraham Avinu wanted to go to the Arkadah, so the Satan tried to be Mazik Yitzchak. He tried to hurt Yitzchak. Tried to, you know, be Mazik him, to damage him. So we hide the shofar because we don't want the Satan to try to damage our shofar. So we hide it, we cover it, so he can't damage it. Meaning all these terutzim are fine and dandy. There's only one problem. The minig is mamish against halach. The halach is you're supposed to hold a chef tishal mitzvah when you make the brach on it. So you want to tell me all the Torah and all this and the other. At the end of the day, it's mamish goes against a standard halach. So that's why many people have the practice that they hold on to it under the covering. This way at least it's covered. This way they're holding it and it's covered. But it's an interesting minig. The other thing I want to just mention is, again, I'm not going to give lengthy drushes. I'm sure you all yoytze yesterday going to hear Shabbat Shuvah drushes. You all yoytze the mitzvah of Shabbat Shuvah. You all yoytze whatever that mitzvah is. But in any case, someone just pointed out that Maridik Ha'ara, which I spoken about last year, it's a fascinating Ha'ara. It's quite scary. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Kol Shana Shein Toikin B'tchilos E'miriyan Noi B'Soif. The Gemara says, any year you don't blow Shoif in the beginning of the year, it's going to be bad at the end of the year. So Tosfos already says on the page, no, that means not if it's Shabbos. That's because you didn't blow Shoif because whatever reason. But if it's Shabbos, it doesn't count. Because if you remember, 2 years ago, this last year was Rosh Hashanah was one day was Shabbos, but the Aruch Lener, Yaakov Ettlinger, one of the great rabbis from Germany, he writes in a sefer in one of his drushes. He says, "I'll show you years where Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and the following year things were taka bad." Now we can look back at last year; we didn't blow shofar last year one day. Now, if you remember, when a lot of the tragedy started happening last year, what point of the year was it? Second half of the year, maybe in like b'soifay, life gets bad at the end of the year. Another example of when we didn't blow shofar was the year prior to 9/11. It's the yahrzeit for 9/11. The year before 9/11 happened right before Rosh Hashanah. That year preceding it, we didn't blow shofar, it was Shabbos. So the Gemara says, any year you don't blow shofar, but chilas, it may be in the shofar. So Baruch Hashem, this year we got to blow shofar 2 days. So the Gemara says, you blow shofar both days, you blow shofar, good, everything's going to be, hopefully we should have made Hashem a much better year than we had last year. But just something spooky to think about. The
so you're saying that we hold by a takana chazal. Yerushalmi holds his
door, right?
And then because of that, we're getting punished.
I can't answer. I'm telling you the facts. This is what Yaakov Ettlinger pointed out. That and listen, Puk Chazi, it's sadly true. Again, I don't know what's the reason, what's the sibah, what's the simon, but that's the facts. But Baruch Hashem, this year we got to blow shofar for 2 days, so hopefully it should be a year of good things. But it's just a very spooky thing to think about. Because again, may real no shofar, the Lashon Gemara is at the end of the year. 9/11 happened, what, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah? A week before Rosh Hashanah. May Riyan Lo B'Soifah. The Tsar comes at the end. A lot of the Tsars that we had last year, a lot of the tragedy started what? Lag Ba'Imer. Lag Ba'Imer is almost the end of the year already. Then Lag Ba'Imer, and it continues through the summer. That's already B'Soif Hashanah. So it's a scary, scary idea. But in any case, let's get into today's shir at least. So today's shir, we're going to talk about something which I think gets very little mention, and it's both very controversial and lomdish, which is always fun to bring those two things together. Okay, so most of us show up to shul on Yom Kippur night, and we're rushed, we're in a hurry, we try to put on a talis before Shkia, or try to put on a talis sometime before Bein HaShmoshes, because there's a shayla about that as well. And then we sit down, and there's some tefillah that's printed in the siddur, in the mavzer, tefillah zaka, beautiful tefillah, very lengthy tefillah, and some of us say it, some of us don't say it, some of us just, you know just to be yaita, they say it. But what's the idea behind this tefillah? What's it all about, both in halacha and in lomdis? And more so in controversy. So let's start like this. It's a very difficult Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Source number one. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Pezayin of the base. Okay, switch on Taifim already, okay? Now we're in Yuma. The Gemara says like this, Tana Rabbanan. Mitzvah Zvidoi Erev Yom HaKippurim Im Chashecha. The mitzvah to do Vidoi starts when Erev Yom Kippur Im Chashecha. Now what does Im Chashecha mean? Does that mean with nightfall? With Shkia, with Bein HaShmoshes, with when? When's the first time we do Vidui? Now, when do we do vidui for the first time? So we know we do vidui once by mincha, and then we do vidui again by ma'ariv on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Aval Omru Chacham Chazal said, Yisvadei koidim sheyochel v'yishte. A person should do vidui before he eats and drinks. Why? Shem atitra of daite besuda. Maybe he will get messed up. His mind will be preoccupied during the meal. So what do they teach us in third grade? That why do you have to do vidui? Because you may choke. Right? It's a pellet. It's not what most Rishonim say. It's not what most Rishonim say. Most Rishonim say you might get drunk during the meal. I'm not going to teach you that in elementary school.
Which meal?
Sudas and Mosefs. Yeah. You're allowed to have alcohol.
I know, but who does that?
That today.
Well, they drink wine.
At the times of Rishonim, everything was wine. So they had, they would be chayshish that of shikras. So we were told when we were kids, it's a chshash, maybe you'll choke, which we'll see is brought down in the Rambam. But if you look at the majority of the Rishonim, the majority, they say it has nothing to do with choking, it has to do with getting drunk. Okay. That's probably a better message to the kids than getting drunk is a person may choke. So says the Gemara, even though you're supposed to do vidui before the meal, says the Gemara, even though you did vidui before you ate, you should do vidui one more time after you eat. Why? Because maybe something bad happened in the meal. What happened bad in the meal? So Rashi says, number two, last line, shalchet. Maybe during the Suda Masakas, you spoke Lashon Hara. So you went to Mincha and you said Vidui. Then you had the Susan Matzakas and you bad mouthed everyone in Shul. Okay, good. You were yaitzah that mitzvah deraisa and you spoke about the rabbi Shabbat Shuvah Joshua, how you made this wrong and that wrong. Good. And now you got to come to Yom Kippur. You're full of Aveiros again. So the Gemara says you do Vidui one more time. Says the Gemara of Alfish Yisvada Arvis, even though you do Vidui by Ma'ariv, Yisvada Shachris, you do Vidui again by Shachris. So how do we learn this Gemara? Very, very shver Gemara. Batsim needs much more time to discuss Poshet learning this Gemara.
Why are we even doing Vidui before Yom Kippur?
Very good. So there's a very, very big machloikis rishonim, a very important machloikis rishonim. When is the first vidui that we do of Yom Kippur start? What's the first vidui that we do? So the Lashon and the Gemara opens up with the first line. Mitzvah vidui erev Yom Kippur v'mechashecha. That sounds like that. The preferred time to do vidui is when? Erev Yom Kippur v'mechashecha. When is that? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says number two, imchashecha l'acher achila, after you eat, mishakibol olav Yom Kippur. So according to Rashi, it sounds like the first vidui, or the spitz vidui, the preferred vidui is when? After Yom Kippur starts. Which is the way most of us assume. You start doing vidui when Yom Kippur starts. So what happens? So how do you read the Gemara like that? So really the first vidui should really be done Yom Kippur night. But we're afraid that a person might not make it to Yom Kippur night. We can't take a chance. So therefore we said, do vidui before Yom Kippur starts. Do vidui before the meal. But what did the Gemara say? Then you do vidui again after the meal. When's that vidui? That means Ma'ariv. It means really we should have done vidui by Ma'ariv, and only by Ma'ariv. We injected another vidui before the Suda, then after the Suda you do another one by Ma'ariv. That's how you read the Gemara. It doesn't read so smoothly, the Gemara. The Rambam sheet, the number three, the Rambam says,
because it's Avo Omer Chacham.
Right, it's not, again, we could spend probably an entire shiur on this Gemara. I'm not, because we have too much to get to. But it's a very, very difficult Gemara. Pasha, the flow of the Gemara. And that's one of the kashas that Rishonim have, is that the flow of the Gemara doesn't work so smoothly according to certain sheets of Rishonim. But let's bypass that for a few minutes. Let's see the Rambam number three. Zok the Rambam. U'mitzvah zvidu yom ha-kippurim, the mitzvah of vidu yom kippur, sheyaschul mi-erev, it starts from the erev, Hayoim, Koidim Shayacha, so you start Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Shema Yichanek Besuda, maybe a person will choke. That's where the choking comes from. It's based on a Rambam, even though Rashi, the Ran, Rav Rishonim say Shikrus. Okay? Zokti Rambam, Vav Bishes Vada, Koidim Shayachal, even though you did Vidui before you ate, Shayachal Choyze Umisvada, you do Vidui again. When? Belele Yoimaki Purim Arvis. So according to the Rambam, the next vidui that you do after the vidui that you do by the meal is not until the ma'ariv of Yom Kippur. Then umisvade b'shachris ubemusuf u'mincha u'beni'il. So according to the Rambam, what's the seder hadvarim? According to the Rambam, you do vidui once before the meal because shema yichanek, maybe you won't make it to the suda. And then the next time you do the vidui is when? Not till ma'ariv. Ma'ariv and Yom Kippur, which is already, presumably, already in Yom Kippur, that's when you do your first vidui. So how did the Rambam read the Gemara? He read the Gemara, mitzvah vidui erev Yom Kippur mechashecha. The best time to do vidui is once Yom Kippur starts. But we can't do it once Yom Kippur starts, so we do it once before the meal, and then we go back to doing it regularly after Yom Kippur starts. The Ramban had the mechudosh de kipshat. The Ramban both here in Chedushim Meseches Yuma, and the Ramban on Chumash says this word. The Ramban, I didn't put it on the sheets, but the Ramban writes on the Pasuk, it says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. So Rabban learns, Lifnei Hashem means I come to Hashem already being Tohar. The Ramban held a person comes to Yom Kippur already doing tshuva. Not the pshat I come to Yom Kippur anticipating to get tshuva on Yom Kippur, but Lifnei Hashem to Tohar means I come before Hashem on Yom Kippur already Tohar. So therefore the Ramban sheet is you do vidui before you start Yom Kippur. So the Ramban learns that when you pshat in the Gemara is like this, the real vidui is not Leil Yom Kippur. Mitzvah's vidui Erev Yom Kippurim is before Yom Kippur starts. But we can't let you do that for the first time because maybe you won't make it because of the Suda Samavsekis. So we do one before the Suda Samavsekis and we do another one when? After the Suda, before Yom Kippur begins. That's the Ramban sheet. So Ramban has a gewaldig minority opinion by far in the Rishonim, but the Ramban holds pshat in the Gemara, and therefore pshat in the Pasuk in Chumash is you come into Yom Kippur with already doing vidui. That's how the Ramban learns pshat in this Gemara. So according to Ramban, the preferred vidui is not on Yom Kippur; it's before Yom Kippur. Thank you. It's before Yom Kippur starts.
So what does he do with the Gemara?
Well, what's wrong with the Gemara?
The Suda.
Right, the Gemara reads like this: Mitzvah vidui Erev Yom Kippur Mem Chasheicha. He's supposed to do it before Yom Kippur starts. So why can't we just start then? Avol Amr Chacham Chazal said no. Yisvad the Koyin Mishachav Yisvad the Shem Tizav Vidayt Besuda. It actually reads much better according to Ramban because what do they say? Va'al Pish Yisvad the Koyin Mishachav Shoshes Misvad Al Achash Yachav Yishte Mamish. But Achash Yachav Yishte right after I finish my meal. What time do you finish Yisuda Mavsekas? It's not Yom Kippur. Then I do an immediate vida right after then. Why? Because maybe during the meal you did something you shouldn't have. So according to the Ramban, the preferred vida is not once Yom Kippur starts, but rather the preferred vida is before Yom Kippur starts. That's the Chiddush of the Ramban. Again, we can read through the Ramban in number 4, where he has kashas. Why he comes up with this pshat? Because he has kashas on the flow of the Gemara. A little, not grammatic, but detailed kashas that the flow of the Gemara is off.
Well, the second part is almost, even going to Ramban, once you say, how do you define la'achah
she'ochah? Right, so according to the Rambam, it's very far off. That's one of the Ramban's kashas. Yeah. One of the kashas of Ramban, la'achah, what do you mean la'achah? It's 2 hours later. How do you call that la'achah? Also, the other kash is, the last line of the Gemara says, v'alpi she'svad da'arvis, even though you did vidui be'mayruf. But according to him, there's another madrega, right? There's a third, there's another vidui. Again, there's a lot of, the Ramban thinks that the pashtus of the Gemara is not, doesn't read well according to the Rambam. Again, we could spend more time on the Gemara figuring out who reads better in the Gemara, but I want to actually tackle the Ramban shita.
So the Ramban, yeah. you would do two vidois before it actually got the Gemara?
That's correct. According to Ramban, you do two vidois before Yom Kippur even starts. You do the first vidui before the Suda, and then you do the second vidui prior to the onset of Yom Kippur. So I just mentioned that the Ramban either read it from this Gemara, and he also has a smach from the pasuk Lifnei Hashem Titaru. He's supposed to come to Hashem already being Tahar.
Don't we have it written somewhere where there's altogether 10 viduos
yes.
according to
yes.
Ramban?
Yes. How would that work? We will talk about Bli Neder later today, the 10 viduos, and how do we calculate the 10 viduos?
He was skipping
Myra. We'll see. It's Machloikis Mishayim, how to calculate that 10 viduos. We'll come back to it. We're going to use that essentially later on in the share, hopefully. So that's the sheet of the Ramban. So according to Ramban, we have two viduos. We have one viduos prior to the Suda, and then we have one vidui after the Suda, right before the onset of Ma'ariv. Now the truth is, if you look over in number 5, there's a sefer called Mishmeres Yomim, also written by the Helchas Chag B'Chag, by Moshe Karp. He's a big Talmud Chacham, a Paisik, I think he's a Reish Kedel in Eretz Yisrael. He writes a lot of Svarim, beautiful Svarim. So he just points out a side kasha, which needs Hesber. According to Rashi, let's say you hold real vidui is supposed to be on Yom Kippur. That's real vidui. So what does it help to do vidui on Yom Kippur? Like, what does it do? So the Gemara, well, Chazal said you have to do Vida on Erev Yom Kippur because you might not make it to Yom Kippur. But if Vida is a din in Yom Kippur, what does it help to do it on Erev Yom Kippur?
You could do it today.
Right. Like what's this idea? So we should do Vida every day. Vida is a good thing to do. But it's not among the things, right? That's right. We'll talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about Vida that a person does. So it's just a shtickle ha'ara he's bothered with. Whatever the Vida is, which we'll break down hopefully a little later today, whatever Vida is, we assume it's connected to Yom Kippur, right? So if it's connected to Yom Kippur, what does it help to do it on every Yom Kippur?
Don't we learn out Tosfos Yontif from Yom Kippur?
So maybe before
Yom Kippur is more than any other day, more than today.
So he talks about that in the Sefer. In this piece that I only thought a copy part of, he tries to work that route of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. He wants to be Tehillim in the Rambam. The Rambam only has Tosfos Yom Kippurim by Yom Kippur, not by other. The Pashas doesn't work.
Because you're eating.
Because you're still going to eat, right? The problem is you're doing this before you eat, so it's hard to be Tesef Yom Kippurim. But he comes up with a bigger chiddush. I thought this mamish, when I read this, I thought this was unbelievable. Number five, he wants the taina. We had to share about this a few years ago. We know there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So we always spoke about the mitzvah. The Gemara says kol oichel b'chi, it's kilu misan chi v'asiri. So we spoke about the long this, why this, that, and the other. So he wants to tell like this, that maybe Rashi held that since the Gemara treats the ninth day like it's the tenth day, so the vida in the ninth day works like it would be on the tenth day.
So why don't you do ten on the ninth day?
No, it's mamish. It's not Yom Kippur mamish. That's why you're not going to. You're also not going to wear non-leather shoes. Yeah, but epis it's a shaykh is to Yom Kippur.
Now you're getting closer. Because now, you know, this takes away the problem of the eating. But
that's exactly right. The eating is not a kasha anymore because the eating is taka b'chal inay. I'll just read it again. I can't say I actually understand what these words mean, but he writes, Im ken yoyim zed chi dechshivu vekishu akosav kasiri choshavu kim ekipurim. Aflam it's his vidui. I mean, the same way we make this hekish, the 9th to the 10th, so maybe you can consider it even with regard to vidui. L'chein ha-mitzvah b'chi koydem achila kaim b'zeh mitzvah vidui d'yem ekipurim. Okay, I think it's a hard stretch alumnus. But in any case, we have a machoikis b'shoyim in our hand that we need to deal with. Machoikis between the Rambam and the Ramban, when you do vidui, the first vidui before, the second vidui of Erev Kippur. One is done before the Suda, when's the second one done? According to the Rambam, the second one is done by Ma'ariv, according to Rashi, Pashtus. Also, while according to Ramban, the second vidui first takes place right before Yom Kippur starts.
Does Ramban say the third is Ma'ariv?
Yeah, then you do one of Ma'ariv, yeah. That's how he reads the Gemara.
According to the Ramban, you do a vidui without a tefillah?
Oh, very good. That's a kashan. Very good. That's a kashan. We're going to see that's a kashan in the Ramban. The Tosefos Yom HaKippur masters kashan. That we don't find any vidui without a tefillah. If you look at all the vidui that we see over Yom Kippur, they're always sandwiched somewhere in tefillah. This l'chayr wouldn't be. What? Yeah, but somewhere. We'll talk about it. But at least it's usually either in the Chazaras HaShatz or in the private Shemoneh Esrei. According to Ramban, this vidui would be in the middle of nowhere. It would be before Kol Nidre. There's no halachic tefillah. It's just it's a prayer.
But
so we'll talk about
that.
The pashtus of vidui is just the ashamdu of vidui, acknowledging the things we've done wrong. That the fact that we sinned.
Not the
offense. No. Ikra did it just the ashamdu, which we'll talk. We'll get there in a second. That's where I'm going. We'll get there in a second.
We'll get there. Just because the shir's titled that.
That's right. That's not a right to anything. Hopefully we'll try to get to that at some point. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, it's number 6. The Beis Yosef writes the following. He quotes the Ran. The Ran says the whole Ramban. And he writes, Dr. Ran, number 6, because of a Ran mitzvah, vidi ev yom kippur im chashecho. That's the lashon of the Gemara. He's supposed to do vidi im chashecho. La'achar achila, after you eat, mishakibul ol ev yom kippurim. So the Ran learns like Rashi Pashtus, like the Rambam. Now, when do you do vidi? The first vidi is done after you eat. When? Once you already accepted yom kippur. Why? Shem iridovel kilkolo, shal shikrus, v'kiyet zibo. Tzarech shizvad al achash yachav. Usually you have to vidi after you eat. Pitfilas arvis. When's that second vidi, writes the Ran? That second vidi is in Ma'ariv. Kach pirshu harishonim. That's what the rishonim say. Varamban hikshaleim. The Ramban asks kashas. Upirish the hachikamah mitzvahs vidu she'el v'yom kippurim shetzarech lezvadeis koydim sheyikonis l'yoyim hatshuva hu im chashecha. So had Ramban learned the Gemara? The Ramban learned the Gemara mitzvahs vidu yom kippurim chashecha means not with nightfall, but right before nightfall, right before shkir. So according to Ramban, we do a vidu right before we start yom kippur. Last line of the Beis Yosef. The ha'olam loynogu kedivrei haramban. But the Velt does not follow the Ramban. So the Beis Yosef is paskening. We don't paskening like this Ramban. Even though the Ramban makes a compelling argument, and it might read better in the Gemara according to him. Says the Beis Yosef, that's just not the way we practice. The practice is like the Rambam, and not like the Ramban. Which means there's no Vida recited until you actually get into Yom Kippur.
By the way, according to the Ran and according to Rashi, there's no Isser whatsoever. You know, would you allow to drink wine by the Sudam of Sekund?
Yeah, it's not like Tisha B'Av, yeah. Apparently, according to many Mishraim, that was the choice beverage. Now, I personally would never want to drink anything alcoholic before you go into a fast day.
Exactly.
Makes my mouth dry. I don't know about anyone else, but again, wine was a typical drink back then. It was like soda, so they probably had a higher level. And people make a mistake that the wine was stronger than it is today. Mamish, not true. It's not true at all. The Gemara describes the way they make wine. The Gemara describes the way we dilute the wine. And the way they dilute the wine comes out to be about the same 4% Rashi Kal that we have today in the stores. So when people tell you, oh, that's not wine. You're not yaitzah with that. That's not wine. What do you think the wine they had was 82%? They had the same wine we have. It's such a joke. People make these cheshbainis. Like everyone lives in a delusional world. Like, you know, that in Europe, everyone was from and Shem Etar Mitzvahs and learned Shas every day. Really? And the times of the Gemara, all the wine was 82%.
Our wine is 12%.
Right, so how they get to that percent is taka chiddush. Because the pashas, the way the Gemara describes the way they used to dilute the wine, Rabbi Belsky writes like this, one of his truths.
Why do they dilute it so much?
Now or then?
Yeah.
Why did they?
Because they were using it for soda.
They did all the way they diluted the wine. Rabbi Belsky makes the cheshbon that the way they diluted the wine in the Bizman HaGemar, it comes out to be about 4%.
What I understand the reason for wine was because they wanted to disinfect the water, basically.
I
water was a problem.
Uh-huh.
So they had wine that was safer to drink.
Uh-huh. Could be.
That's what I understand.
But I just think it's funny. Everyone like makes fun. Oh, 4%, that's not wine. That's about the wine. If that's not wine, then the times of the Gemara, they didn't have wine. You know? So it's in any case. So that's a separate, preferred question. Okay, so how do we paskin? So if you look, so Beis Yosef told us the Velt is not noig like this Ramban. So that's pretty strong. Right, Rabbi Yosef Kairo is a very, very important figure in halacha. So if he tells us the Velt doesn't go like the Ramban, that should pretty much end the case. But of course it doesn't. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 7, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Tzarech lesvadis b'mincha koidim sudas mafsekas. A person has to do videi at mincha before the sudas. Now that's not questionable. That's the Gemara. We saw that in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sorry, first says the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram quotes from the Shlach Kaddish. In the end of the first line, he writes, Kosov Shlach. It's worth it to be machmir and say vidui after you eat before it gets dark. Why? Why would anyone do a vidui before Yom Kippur? Says the Shlah, Kedas HaRamban. All of a sudden now we're starting to worry about the Ramban. Even though the Beis Yosef told us the Velt doesn't go like the Ramban, says the Shlah Kodesh not so fast.
So the Ramban is?
You do vidui before Yom Kippur starts.
After the Sudas
HaMaseches. Yeah, right. So you one by mincha before, then one after the meal, right before Yom Kippur starts. So the Shulchan Aruch said, the Beis Yosef said, we don't follow this opinion. But the Shulchan Aruch says, no, we do follow this opinion. It's ro'oi lahachmer. It's a worthwhile chumrah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, number 9, he says, you do vida before the Sudas HaMaseches. Why? Shema yeru ladova kekula besuda. Maybe something bad will happen in the meal. Sheichanek, a person will choke. Oisha tidrif taite, his mind will get mixed up. So which the Sharatzin tells us that's from alcohol, like Rashi. He won't be able to do vidi afterwards.
But that would only explain why you do it before, not why you do it after. It's too late already. If you did choke, God forbid, or if you
are... Right. This is all explaining the before. Yeah. Then he writes, V'yesh poiskim shesoivrim shetzorech lezvadis gam achra achila koidim chasheicha. Some people hold you have to do vidi after you eat also. Now who are those poiskim? The Ramban. The Shlah with the Ramban. So if you look in the Sharatzin, he writes, Ramban. Okay, Kalik.
Then
the Shlah says it's a chumrah to follow this Ramban. That's the chiddush of the Shlah. And the Magen Avraham brings it. Right? The Magen Avraham doesn't have to bring every Shlah Kaddish that existed. He brought this one, which means he's giving this credence as well. Then says the Mishnah Berurah, for roi l'hachem kedezu, it's kedai to be machmir, v'cheinogu bizmanenu, and that's the practice that we do today, she'omrim oz tefillah zaka, that we say this tefillah called tefillah zaka, which is in every machzer, and I shouldn't say it's in every machzer. Which machzer is it not in?
Birnbaum.
Any Yekish machzer.
Oh, in the full of Birnbaum. Maybe he was a Yekish.
Right, Ronnie, they don't say it in the Yekis.
Right.
No, I was told by a Yekis. See, that's the problem. A lot of times people, you know...
I mean, Yekis never sin. What do they mean?
Well, Tvila Zaka,
they do
it on time. So Tvila Zaka Zokter Mishnah Berurah. This is why we say Tvila Zaka. Tvila Zaka is a fulfillment of the Ramban Shita. So if you ever wonder why people say Tvila Zaka, the answer is they want to be Yotze. Huh?
It's not the structure of
either. That's what we have to get to in a second. Right. But this is the Pashtut explanation. We'll get to that in a second. But the Tvila Zaka that we say today, says the Mishnah Berurah, is a fulfillment of the Shlah, which is a fulfillment of the Ramban. Okay, now we understand the background. The reason why we come early to shul, at least we should come early to shul to say this tefillah, or say it at home for that matter, you don't have to say it in shul, is to fulfill the Ramban Shita. Now the question is, why do I want to fulfill the Ramban Shita if the Beis Yosef told me, so that's not such a kasha. Now we're always looking for chumras. We're always looking for chumras, especially before Yom Kippur. You want to get as much credit as you could, so you want to be machmir for the Ramban Shita.
But the problem is, in tefillah zaki, you're not really doing vidu. You're asking for mechila for certain averes. It's not a shamdu bogadnu gezamu.
You definitely, no. You definitely mentioned the fact that you sinned. You definitely mentioned
about certain averes, but you don't do the complete hashamnu bagam.
That you don't need to do that. You just need a vidui is the recognition.
Vidui is hashamnu.
The Gemara says the ikra of vidui is chatam. The fact that we sinned. So you say that in the tefillah zaka. But what's
and
the big?
Being Michael others is just.
Yeah, that's nice. Now what's the bigger kasha on the tefillah zaka that we say? Okay. That's one kasha.
Have you been to Kabul Yom Kippur yet?
No, you weren't. So that's a technical problem. The bigger kasha that we really got to get to is Lamaisa. Most people say it's sitting.
It's what?
They say it's sitting.
Sitting.
Vidur needs to be done by Amida. So there's a little bit of a problem over here. Everyone's running to be machmir for the Ramban. But if they'd actually look up the reason why they're doing it, they realize it doesn't make any sense. Right. Because to do Vidur, you got to do Vidur by Amida, and it's ma'akif pashtus. So if everyone does this tefillah to be mekayim the Ramban, it's a shtickle waste of time.
But if everybody does tefillah to be mekayim the Ramban, then actually do the real vidui. Ramban didn't know from tefillah zakah.
No, he did not. So that's correct.
If you're going to do the Ramban, do the Ramban.
So there are plenty of Jews. That's true. There are plenty of Jews, which we'll get to in a few minutes, that Taka didn't say tefillah zakah, the long version with all the many things in it. They were just... We'll get to that. We'll come back in a few minutes. They would just say Hashem. We'll see in a second. But again, this is the big kasha and lumdus that we need to get to. Let's just see a little bit more about this. We'll get more into the historical background. Yeah, that's correct. That's right. That's a different. Right? That's correct. Yeah, because you don't say. Because Erev Kippur is a yomtiv. Erev Kippur is a unique day. Erev Kippur has a din of a yomtiv, which is fascinating on so many levels. That's correct. So let's see the Matta Ephraim number 11. Zok the Matta Ephraim. Nochoin sheterem kinisas yom kippurim. It's correct that right before Yom Kippur comes in, yoimar balachash havidu k'tzara. You should say quietly. You should say a short vidui, a shamnu. Just reckon. That's right. He knew of it. He didn't have the long version that we have. Lefishu hu hascholas hakapara. This is the beginning of the kapara. Likones liyem hakipurim b'tshuva. You want to come into Yom Kippur with a ready having tshuva. Vuhu ikar mitzvahs tshuva. Skip down to the bottom, 11b. I forgot to put it in. Vuhu ikar mitzvahs tshuva min adin. This is the real vidui. The real vidui is before you come into Yom Kippur. So why do we do vidui by mincha? So he explains, we're afraid that maybe a person will get drunk at the meal. We didn't bother you to do another vidui. Amazing. According to Matthew, we don't want to burden the people with a second vidui. So once you did one vidui before mincha, we gave you a break until you get to Ma'ariv. But every individual may choose to be machmer for himself. Maybe you're nervous. Meaning, it sounds like that he thought the other Rishayim felt that you'd also come into Yom Tov B'Tahara and you just won't do anything wrong until and from the meal all the way till you start Yom Kippur. But he says, if you think that at the meal you might have said something which could have been an Avera, so therefore you should do Vidui then. Avol in Lino came B'Tzibur. We don't want to have a public recitation of vidui. Shenir kimoisef adivri chazal. Because then it looks like you're adding on to chazal. Meaning others say it differently. They say, we don't want to have a public recitation of vidui because then it looks like we're passing like the Ramban. And we don't.
Why are you concerned about this one sin of the chet that you possibly have done? And what about everything else?
So you did vidui for that. You did vidui before mincha. So that knocked off everything.
So they assume that Yom Kippur is like, we don't...
So Yom Kippur is supposed to be on top of that, for whatever that means. Whatever
you need Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Okay, so the Rabban will tell you Yom Kippur only functions once you got to step one. Meaning once you cleared yourself from all that virus, then Yom Kippur can come in and do what it needs to do. Something like that, I'm guessing. Now what's interesting about this Matta Ephraim?
And then according to the Rabban, why do you do vidui on Yom Kippur?
That's what I'm going to come to. We'll come back to later today. Why, according to Ramban, do you do vidui Yom Kippur b'chlal? We'll talk about it at some point, hopefully. So what do you have according to this Matta Ephraim? The Matta Ephraim has a practice to say some form of vidui, but to do it b'lachash, quietly. Okay? So if you look over here in the Nemuki Arachayim was the Munkat Shereb, the Minchas Alozer. So he's very bothered by this. He writes, Hine noida dasa Ramban. It's well known, the Ramban's opinion. The Mashikasa be Gemara Misvadi im Chashecha Tzarech Gam Acher Achila Sudim Arsek the Shirkanis be Yamakipur and Betshuva. It's well known the Ramban cheated. You have to do another vidui after the meal. He writes the Kosef of Kain Rashi be Diver Maslam Chashecha. He thinks Rashi holds like the Ramban. I'm not so sure if I see that 100% in Rashi. That Rashi holds like the Ramban that you do another vidui after the Suda before Ma'ariv, because Rashi says La Acher Shekibal Lo of Yamakipurim. Rashi sounds like that the preferred vidui is after Yom Kippur, not before. But okay. And then he writes V'chein Minag Aviseinu Hakadoshim. That was the practice of our forefathers. Loimer avidu, to say the video of ono tovoi lefonecho, ashamnu, bebeis haknesses, koidem atzoh se v'toril orzeru. That was a practice, says the Munkat Rebbe, that our Zaydis used to say a vidui before they took out the Sefer Torah, before Kol Nidre. Ulepela almoran amachabush lekosov klal bazeh. And he thinks it's a pel that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even acknowledge, at least bring it down, that there's a yeshayim of the Ramban. Lochus das Ramban, Shanira came be emes meforish be gemarsham. Because he thinks.
Right.
I mean, he was saying that he should have brought it in a more positive way, like, you should do it. Not that we don't do the Ramban. He's bothered by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch didn't even think that the Ramban doesn't have enough credence as a. You know, Shulchan Aruch brings down Yeshayim all the time. Like, this didn't even get a Yeshayim.
But
the Shulchan Aruch really say that we shouldn't do it, or that just
well, his lack of saying anything is assumed you don't. I mean, if the Shulchan Aruch had like Rabban, he should have said mitzvah lesvados bevinuchah kaidem sukkah, v'gam tzarich lesvados, you know, kaidem chashecha. He doesn't say that. So that works very nice with what we saw in the Beis Yosef. He says, so once we know that we don't go like the Ramban, so that's why he omits it in Shulchan Aruch. The Munkach Rebbe's kash is, why? Why do you at least mention the Ramban? He also thinks because the Ramban is the Pashas of the Gemara. He thinks that it's Mefurish in the Gemara like the Ramban. He says, what's the Lash in the Gemara? The Lash in the Gemara is that after you do Vida before the meal, you do Vida after the meal. What's after the meal? By Ma'ariv. You call Ma'ariv after the meal. So therefore, says the Munkach Rebbe, he thinks the Ramban is more correct than the Gemara. And then he writes, and this Matta Ephraim that I saw even bothers me even more. The Matta Ephraim says he's supposed to do it quietly. He says, Favos quietly. Well, what is quietly? You do it. He says, Gnir loymer zebet zibur karoi ein zeche lomoy b'chom mekoymes ashkenaz upolin hayishanim. Akoponim vade achshav roi lanigedu b'tzibur. He says, even though there is no Messiah on doing tefillah zat, what we call tefillah zakai b'tzibur, he thinks you should do a b'tzibur. Many already are doing it. Like we, munkach chassidim, do it b'tzibur. So the munkach is very bothered by this notion that we very much downplay tefillah zakai. We say it quietly, we don't do b'tzibur. He thinks that's all wrong. We should be choshish for the Ramban sheet. And he thinks it's wrong. He's shver to him why the Mechaber doesn't bring down the Ramban. He thinks it's all strange.
Uh-huh. Where do you see that it's...
No, he doesn't say before.
No, maybe he's saying an actual Vida.
No, even that. Right, fine, that too. Like that also, most of us don't say B'tzibur. If we say it, we say it. We don't say it in a Tzibur setting. Now, Moshe Sternbach points out in Shuvas Van Hagas on the next page, he gives you a list of those who did say Tvila Zaka. A short list, but an important list. He writes, V'chein b'mishtabur, kas v'sheish, l'noi gloim at tefillah zakah, l'fnei ma'ariv, lot says shitas Ramban. Some people say tefillah zakah to be mekayim the Ramban. V'chein nogu kol ha-medaktikim. And that was the practice of kol ha-medaktikim l'hadar b'zeh. Those people that are careful, in mitzvahs and how they serve Hashem, they try to get this Ramban with tefillah zakah.
A lot of times it's just a major rush.
Yom Kippur morning? When?
No, the Erev Yom Kippur.
No, then you'd have to behave the whole Erev Yom Kippur.
What?
You'd have to behave the whole Erev Yom Kippur.
That's not too much.
I would think not. I think the Matta Ephraim does bring down a practice to say it every, to say it in the Yom Kippur morning, to say Tefillah Zaka again. But here we're talking about before Yom Kippur. So he writes...
Let's go back to the first line of the Gemara. Did we answer why you have the Lashon Im Hashecha talking about Erev? Because that's an odd word to use.
So you could learn Im Hashecha means with nightfall, meaning right before nightfall. That's how the Ramban read it. The Rambam read it means after
as
nightfall.
It's becoming
That's right. So the Ramban learned Im Hashecha means right before Hashecha. Obviously, usually we would have used words like Samoch Lefnei, but the Ramban thinks that Im Hashecha can also mean before.
It's Pashas like that because we're talking about Erev.
That's right. That's right. Again, the simple reading of this Gemara sounds very much like...
You're trying to mean they shouldn't do it in the morning or during the day.
That's right.
It should be right.
Correct. That's right. That's how the Ramban...
The simple reading seems more like the Ramban. Right?
Yeah, the simple reading sounds like the Ramban, 100%.
How would the Rambam learn Im Hashecha again?
He'll learn Im Hashecha means once you're Mekabel Shabbat, once you're Mekabel Yom Kippur, like Rashi learns. Yeah, it's definitely a simple reading of the Gemara. Sounds more like the Ramban. So Rav Moshe Sternbach tells us who used to say a tefillah before Ma'ariv. V'chein shemati shakolish rabbanu nekeach. The great Belzer Rebbe, right? The uncle of the today's Belzer Rebbe. Oma avidei b'rabim. He used to say avidei b'rabim. Lefnei arvus before Ma'ariv. Chotonu b'shoygig avinu b'mezid pashanu v'achshav shalei ketzoyincho. Lots of shittos. He didn't say the whole tefillah zaka, but he said avidei ketzora, avidei just to be mekayim the Ramban again. The Mishnah Berurah told us from that the Tefillah Zakah is supposed to be the Ramban's Vida. But the point is, it's not so much the lengthy Tefillah Zakah. The point really is, it's a Vida. So the Belzer Rebbe would say a Vida, the Vida to be Mekayim the Ramban.
Who wrote the Tefillah Zakah? And when was it?
We'll get to that in a few minutes.
Is that
he means probably before nightfall, most likely. Which is what I'm going to talk about in a second. So therefore, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, points out Rav Moshe Sternbach, 1 second. If the whole pshat in this Tefillah Zakah is to be Mekayim the Ramban, cheated, he's supposed to do Vidui before Yom Kippur. When do most of us say Tefillah Zakah? 20 minutes after Shkia. Most of us show up late, and then this, then the other. So by the time we get to Tefillah Zakah, it's already after the Shkia. That's too late. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach,
I don't
know, but we said, again, That's what the Belzer Rebbe did. But if you look in the Lashon and the Ramban, it's supposed to be before Yom Kippur starts.
Erev Yom Kippur.
Before Yom Kippur starts. It says, Rav Moshe Sternbach, Ulechayr tzarech loyma hanosach lefnei hashkiyah. Shema mi'oz alaylo. Because maybe after Shkiyah it's Ben Hashmoshe. Ben Hashmoshe is a suffix. It might already have a din of Yom Kippur. Shema oz noyge Ben Hashmoshe tzarech loyma lefnei soif yitzum ashriyam. You have to finish it before. Shema stavkol on kvar be Ben Hashmoshe. So he says you have to tell the people they should say this tefillah before Kol Nidre. Shebigmar kvar shaka hachambo ukvar lo yazman leheramban. Again, if we understand why we're doing things, we have to follow through. Meaning, if the reason why we're saying this tefillah is to be mekayim the sheet of the Ramban, and the Ramban holds he's supposed to do tshuva before Yom Kippur, so it's got to be before Yom Kippur. Again, this is what happens when people don't know what they're doing. They just do whatever they do because it's in the Siddur. Fine, so you show up. Machzor says, say it, so you say it. But if you understand the reason behind it, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
it's too late.
No, the Ramban agrees that the whole reason of saying is Shema in the course of the meal, you spoke Lashon Hara, you make a bracha properly, you make a bona benching. It's related to the meal.
No, he's just explaining why the Vida before the meal can't help me. The Ramban's point is you got to come into Yom Kippur, Vidoi done, Avera free. So the kasha is, so why is that not good enough with the one before the meal? The answer is because most likely something happens between before the meal and after the meal. If let's say after the meal, let's say you eat this for 5 seconds by yourself in an empty room with no phone, and you can't get to any trouble, then you wouldn't need another vidur. The Ramban would agree you don't need another vidur. But the Gemara was worried about it. The Gemara said, af bishis vada the tzarech l'svada sacha. The Gemara wasn't so convinced you can do that. But in theory,
that was just a small shamru magana that we say on the regular.
No, everyone agrees that's what vidu is.
No, we're saying another. It's a lot. That you can frankly 10 seconds.
That's right. That's right. That's correct. That's correct.
So you're running late to shul.
If you're running late to shul, so just do the Ramban's vidu of vidu shapashan. 100%. 100%. 100%. Right. If you want to get the real Ramban, that's what you should do.
But the whole thing with the meal is just an example of things. Of a situation where you could get into trouble.
Correct.
It doesn't have to be the meal.
100%.
You could eat the meal at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you got 4 hours, you could do a lot of other things.
100%. I'm saying, if theoretically a guy.
That's why it should be a chashecha.
Exactly.
Right before it happens.
Give you, meaning, it's not good that I'd say tefillah zakeh at 5 o'clock either. I ain't finished my meal at 5 o'clock, and kippur starts 6:30. So for an hour and a half, I'll say tefillah zakeh at 5 o'clock. Probably not. It's still too early. A lot could happen between now and.
By the way, it's not good. Such a kasha without sounding like too much of a major anti-Semite, but it's not too much of a problem. According to the Belzers, because if they hold a shkia of then it's not a problem.
100%. That's worth mentioning. That avada, whatever you hold for shkia, no, I'm saying, but in all honesty, if you taka hold, if you taka hold like Rabbeinu Tam shkia and you keep Rabbeinu Tam shkia your whole life, so that's fine. Avada the first shkia doesn't count for you. I have no problem with that. If you again, I don't know how many people today. If you really keep the,
if you come to shul until 2 hours later,
if you hold that shkia, so then you're okay. So
you make fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
according to the Ramban,
let's be clear. The Ramban didn't have tefillah zakeh, most likely. The Ramban's idea was he's supposed to say a vidui before. The Mishnah Berurah told us that there's a tefillah called tefillah zakeh, and by saying that, you'll get the Ramban. That's the
Ramban was just saying do a shalom.
The Ramban says do vidui, and the Gemara says basic vidui is chatonu avinu, recognizing, acknowledging the fact that we sinned. We got to say this long-winded tefillah called tefillah zakeh, but in there has sections that discusses vidur. Now, here's where things get historically interesting. So till now, nothing is really controversial. It's pretty simple.
Now I turn this year, I'd rather just say the vidur of the Ramban. I mean, it's 15 seconds, I don't include that. The fact that I'm not saying
and we'll see many people talk to do that. We'll get to that in a second. That's right. And we'll see many people do that. And we'll see why. So till now, if we'd stop right here, nothing's too controversial at this point. But now we're going to get into a little bit of a controversial question. Here's where things start with the Chayyadim. We all know the Chayyadim lived in Vilna. He was contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. He was Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. Not exactly Mechutin. One generation of the Vilna Gaon. The next generation married the Gaon's children, not his children to his children. But whatever the case is, he lived in Vilna. Late 1700s, early 1800s. Listen to what he writes. This is so important. He says, "Acher zeh yelech lebeis haknesses beimurad." After you finish whatever you do at home, you go to shul. And the practice in our communities, we take a sefer Torah out of the Aron, and it's already printed in a sefer called Chemdas Hayamim, the tefillahs that you're supposed to say at this time. However, most people can't understand what's written in Chemdas Yomim. Rak Mishabah B'Sayid Hashem, unless you have, you know the principles of Kabbalistic things. Umisha any idea, and if you don't know what you're talking about, Hu Loi Kedivrei Sefer HaChosim, to you it's like a closed book. Doesn't make any sense. Ulechein, therefore, Hetakti Misvarim Kadmoinim Tefila B'Losh and Kal. Therefore, I did not use the Chemdas Yomim's Tefila. I used a different Tefila. I took a different Tefila from what he calls Svarim Kadmoinim. Earlier svarim, which is lighter, because according to many poiskim, vida is supposed to be done samach alayla dafka. The royal chal adam lo amra, and therefore it's right to say it.
So what was he talking about? Ah, that was too hard.
So, I'll come back to that in a second. Let's just finish up. Vezenus chosoy vaashvi mi sheyem roisei gam b'shachar. So what did the chayadam just tell us? Where does tefillah zakah come from? Tefillah zakah comes from the chayadam. Now, where did the chayadam get it from? So if you read the Chayyadim very clearly, he says that the Chemdes Hayyamim wrote a bunch of tefillahs at this time to say, I did not put that in my Sefer, because most people don't understand it. So what did I do? I plucked this tefillah from what I found in Svarim Kadmoinim. Okay? Now why am I bothering with this point? Because the Chayyadim says very clearly that this tefillah does not come from the Sefer Chemdes Hayyamim.
Chemdes Hayyamim
is a controversial sefer, which we'll get to in a second. But the Chayyadim writes clearly, it did not come from Chemdas Yomim, because I think most people don't understand Chemdas Yomim.
And what is it he's referring to? Our
Tefillah Zakah. Our Tefillah Zakah, which is found in most Machzorim.
Which is not written by one person, apparently.
Apparently was not, was melakid, was gathered by the Chayyadim from what he calls Svarim Kadmoinim, which we'll talk about in a second. And he writes, but this is the part where I'm focusing on for a reason. He says, and I did not take it from Chemdas Yomim. Now, why is that important for us? Because Chemdas Yomim is a very controversial sefer. Chemdas Yomim is an extremely controversial sefer. And because people thought that this tefillah came from Chemdas Yomim, people don't say tefillah zakah. Now, why is that a pella? Because it doesn't come from Chemdas Yomim. It's a pella. The Chayyadim himself says that. If you look in the Chayyadim, he writes Mifurash. I did not take it from Chemdas Yomim.
And he was the like editor.
He wrote it. Of tefillah zakah. He wrote it.
But zakah only started
this version? Yes. Now, the Chayyadim was the one who gave us the version that we have.
And there was a 1700s
right after this.
Yeah. I didn't print it because I figured everyone has it in the mouse. And after this, he gives you the whole Nusach of the Tefillah Zakah.
One thing, the Chayyadim was in the 1700s.
Late 1700s. Now, I'll tell you guys a little secret. Oh, I'll come back to that in a second. Now, I had the privilege of on Erev Shabbos at 2 o'clock, when I still didn't prepare my Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, so I was very... And my son was sick, so he was home. He didn't go to school that day. My kids were already back from school. No babysitter. Loved it. But in any case, I decided that I want to speak to one of the most knowledgeable people about the Chemdas Yomim. Historian. Happens to be a neighbor of mine. Professor Schneer Lyman. So I called him on the phone. A wonderful, wonderful yid.
Did Mamish. You babysit for you?
Nah, that would be a real tzidkis. But I had him on speakerphone with one kid on one knee, one kid on the other, and he's shushing them so I can hear him talk while trying to write down what he was telling me. So that was just how it looked on Friday afternoon. But in any case, so he was mamish. He gave me 45 minutes of his time. He really gave me whatever I wanted to know about the Chemdas Yomim, because he's very knowledgeable in all historical areas, but this is one of his specialties. Professor Schneer Lyman, the big historian. He's a fantastic. He's also special. It's sweet yet also. A lot of chesed he does behind the scenes that I only know about from the neighborhood. He really a wonderful yid. He gave me all the time I wanted on Friday afternoon. But in any case, so he told me like this. He said you should just know from a historical standpoint. Then he told me stuff I can't quote b'shemim, which we might anyways, but we'll see. But right. But he told me that the first time the tefillah was printed was not until 1833. The tefillah zakah that we say was not first printed, and it was printed in a pamphlet. Was it in the Machzor? It was a pamphlet that you buy separately, a separate pamphlet. The first time it appeared in the Machzor was not until 1882. That was the first time, 1882 was the first time it appeared in a Machzor. The Tefillah Zakah was injected, inserted into the Machzor, and that was in Vilna. That was the first time it happened. So just to keep that in mind. So he'll tell me, what did they do? They didn't say this before then. But what he also pointed out to me is that he said he's still looking for these Svarim Kadmoinim. Where are these Svarim Kadmoinim that the Chayyadim is talking about? The Chayyadim told him, I didn't get it from Chemdas Yomim, but I got it from Svarim Kadmoinim. Where are those Svarim? So he told me he has not yet found. And he's a big, he'll go to the me one end to the other end. He can, like, you know, the Gemara says, you know, that Torah loy b'shamayim, because if it would be, he'd take a plane to go to Mars if he could find there's a manuscript on Mars, right? He has not told me, as of Friday, he has not yet found, he told me every time he comes across a seder, a mouse, so he opens up right away to look, he has not found what is the Svarm Kadmoyim. He has no idea what they are. But that's where the Chayadim got it from. But he says it did not come from Chemdas HaYamim. Now why am I emphasizing that? Because look at number 15. Number 15 is a sefer on the Chayadim called Tosefes Chayim. The Tosefes Chayim was written by the same person who wrote the Mate Elef. If you learn Mate Ephraim, we spoke a lot about the Mate Ephraim this time of year, so there's a commentary called the Elef Lamate. He lived after the Mate Ephraim, 1800s, 1900s. So he writes this. V'yesh lam al zeh beis tainis. V'yesh nim noam elu amroi. There are some people who don't say Tefillah Zakah. V'yesh lam al zeh beis tainis. And they have two reasons why they don't say it. What's the first tainah, which is what we'll focus on now? Machma shatfila zu nulkach mi sefer Chemdas HaYamim. Because this tefillah was plucked out of the book called Chemdas HaYamim, v'nimtza kosa b'ktsa svarim, and it's brought down in some svarim, shloi lumoi, you're not supposed to learn the sefer. U shloi la'ayin b'sefer hazeh, and you shouldn't look in the sefer, mitam hayadua, because of the well-known reason.
So well-known, we don't know.
So what's the controversy over here? So there's a sefer called Chemdas HaYamim. The sefer Chemdas HaYamim first was published in 1731. It was published anonymously. The author was anonymous. Who published it? And this is important. It was published by a yid named Yisrael Yaakov Al-Ghazi. Yisrael Yaakov Al-Ghazi was a massive Talmud Chacham. Massive Talmud Chacham. He published the Sefer, and he claims it wasn't his writings. He just published it. Now, Professor Lyman told me that he's convinced that the author is Rabbi Al-Ghazi. He said there's no doubt in his mind. He said he found Svarim for Rabbi Al-Ghazi, where he says mamish chunks, word for word, of what's found in the Chemdas HaYamim. So he's convinced that even though Rabbi Al-Ghazi claims he's just a publisher, not the writer, he says, totally not a shayla in his mind, that the author of Chemdas HaYamim is no one other than Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Al-Ghazi, who was a massive Talmud Chacham, and everything is kosher v'yosh. Fine. So what's the controversy? Where's their controversy? What's the problem? So in that sefer, it's a huge sefer, massive sefer, there are two poems. And there's those two poems written by a fellow named Nosson ben Elisha. Who was Nosson ben Elisha? Nosson Hanovi. Who was Nosson Hanovi? He was the mouthpiece for Shabtai Tzvi. He was the mouthpiece of Shabtai Tzvi. Now this sefer, 1731, I told you the sefer was published in 1731. When did Shabtai Tzvi die? Shabtai Tzvi died in 1676. So this sefer was published many years after Shabtai Tzvi already died. But the Shabtai Tzvi movement lived on even after Shabtai Tzvi died. But in any case, so there are two poems there that are written by Nosson Hanovi. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, oh, two poems written by Nosson Hanovi. Nosson Hanovi's treif, the whole sefer is treif. Boom. Chemdas HaYamim is now treif. Osir can't look there. That's what he's referring to over here. Because it's written by Nosson Hanovi. Again, two poems in a massive sefer.
But Rav Gantz,
Al-Ghazi.
Thank you. He's a publisher.
He's a publisher.
So why would he put in
So I asked this that was one of my questions to Professor Lyman. I said, so why would he put them in? So he told me you have to understand the mindset of the Sabbathian movement. He said the early Sabbathians were from Shomer Torah Umitzvah's people. Till Shabbat Tzvi died, they were from his menu. Except they were crumb in the head. American. Obviously, I'm not belittling hashkafas as an important part of life. But you don't look at them as you know, goyim. They kept Torah Umitzvah, they learned, they put on tefillin, they kept kashrus, you know, everything. Except for they had drank their cup. They thought he was Mashiach. Just like early Christianity. What was early Christianity? Who were the first followers of Yashka? Regular from people. Regular guy. They went to shul. Except they thought Yashka was Mashiach. Until Peter, Paul, I got into the story, which we spoke about before, they changed Christianity. But the early members of Christianity were from the Shoimer Torah Mitzvah's people. Same thing with the Sabbatian movement. It wasn't until after Shabtai Tzvi died, where they had to start coming up with terutzim to justify how his death, this is not a kashan, this, that, and the other. So they started coming up with all these terutzim that we have to mevatel the Torah. Because that by being mevatel the Torah, that will bring Mashiach. They had all these corrupt shtickle Torahs, and then they became mamish, you know, like goyim gemur. They broke every rule in the book. So he said it wasn't a kasha why Rabbi Al-Ghazi would put these two letters in. He wasn't chazet treif. Nosson Hanovi was not chazet treif. He was a corrupt. He was a fadreta yid, but he wasn't viewed by the people at that time in history as treif. So he let two poems go. Again, the two poems that are put in there don't talk about Shabtai Tzvi. They don't even talk about Mashiach. They're just two poems he put in. No, fine.
What did they talk about?
I don't even know.
But he told me, Professor Lyman told me they don't talk about anything controversial. But once they were written by him, Shane Possel.
Right, and the environment in the 1700s was very, very.
The 1700s was very, very. Rabbi Yaakov Emden led a very strong campaign about cracking down on this movement. That was part of his big fight with the Bjornis and Eibeschitz. There's a lot to talk about over here. I don't want to spend too much time in history.
Why did he buckle the road, Rabbi?
What?
Why did he buckle the road?
That's what most people said. No, in all honesty. Most people said, big deal, okay, fine, no, move on.
I mean, we say, Yesh Chachma B'Goyim, so
Lahab. Right, again, those two poems weren't even saying anything Kfiridik. So I asked him, I said, does anyone learn Nasan HaNavi's Torah today? I said, Nasan HaNavi wrote a lot of Torah. So he told me, no, that no one learns it, except for historians. You know, Tamid Echam don't learn Nasan HaNavi's Torah. So I said, if you told me it wasn't there, you know, why don't we learn it? We don't learn Nasan HaNavi's Torah.
One thing we clearly see, then when something was banned, they didn't do it. Today, when it's banned, everyone runs out to buy it.
Well, only Rebecca Emden did a read.
Well, they didn't have somebody publishing it.
Now, Professor Lyman wanted to drill home another point, which is important. He said that there were a lot of people that got swept up in Sabbathian movement. One of the great people is the Knesset HaGedolah. The Knesset HaGedolah wrote a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. Everyone learns it. He was bought in. Till the end. At the end, when Shabbat Tzvi died, then he did Charata. But we learn this from today. We learn the Knesset HaGedolah. It's a very popular sefer.
Who wrote that again?
I forgot his name. But he was he bought in all the way on Shabbat Tzvi. I read this. I was shocked. When I read this the first time, I read this in an art school book. I didn't think art school would write such a thing. It's controversial to write it. But the Knesset HaGedolah was a big Talmud Chacham, big Paisik. We learn this from out of Yemezeh. He fell in for the trap of Shabbat Tzvi, just to show you how strong the movement was. But Nasan HaNavi was the mouthpiece. He was the one preaching. He used to tell everyone all the Nevu. Every good leader needs a mouthpiece. Both on the good, you know, look through history. Everyone needs a mouthpiece. Everyone needs a mouthpiece. You can only say how great you are for so long. You need someone else to say how great you are. Okay. So Nasan HaNavi was that for Shabtai Tzvi. He was Shabtai Tzvi's mouthpiece. Shabtai Tzvi was the top of the world. He had a meeting with the Sultan, with the, so to say, president of Turkey. He was a big figure. He wasn't Stam, you know, a crazy guy in his basement with 20 people. He had a real movement going on. So Nasan HaNavi was his mouthpiece. So therefore, says the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this sefer is treif because it comes from Nasan HaNavi. Now, what's the problem with all this? Just not true.
Chayyadim
says it doesn't. Now, I didn't go through the entire Chemdas Yamim. Shnei Lyman told me he did, or parts of it. He said, if you look in Chemdas Yamim, there's not one word in Chemdas Yamim that fits the Tefillah Zakah that we see. Not a one. There's a million tefillos in Chemdas Yamim. And I'll tell you a little secret. A lot of tefillos that we say come from Chemdas Yamim. Kigavna comes from Chemdas Yamim. Many practices that we attribute to the Arizal and the Shlach Kodesh, they really found the Chemdas Yamim. Right? A lot of things that we do.
Therefore, Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say any of that stuff?
Not necessarily.
So certain things survive and certain
things. Things, right. Oh, the Hiratzen that we say when you take out the Sefer Torah on Yom Tovim, that's also found in Chemdas Yamim. There's tons of stuff found in Chemdas Yamim that we don't even know came from Chemdas Yamim. So we don't think the Sefer is trait, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden passed on anything that's in the Sefer. Therefore, says number 15 that the reason why people don't say Tila Zaka is because it came from Chemdas Yamim. Now, this is a great example of fake news. Mm-hmm. Mamish.
Even though the Chayyadim Dafkas.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's Mamish Apella. And look what number. So he writes like this. So this Tosefos Chayyadim, he writes, he says, I'll disprove this. He says, the Eshev.
Was after
the Chayyadim. Yeah, yeah. So he's saying that I know people who don't say Tefillah Zaka because they say he came from Chemdas Yamim. And he writes, Ra'isi b'sefer Chemdas Yamim ha'tefillah shechibol amra. He says, I looked in the Chemdas Yamim. I saw the safe of the tefillah that he says to say, L'el Yom Kippur Kom Kondidre, V'loi zeh nimtze shum b'hatfillah hanal mitfillah zu, loi minei v'loi miktasai. No mention at all that we say in Tefillah Zaka is found anywhere in Chemdas Yamim. That's not true. Loi hoyo v'loi nivra. It's a pella. It's mamish appeal that people won't say Tefillah Zaka because of this reason. It says no shaykhs.
Why did the Chayyadim have to say it's not from Chemdas HaYamim? He didn't say it's not from 10 other Sfarim.
Right, right. I was,
why did he say
because I think he just wanted people to know that.
It must have been similar, at least.
Right, I guess. That's a good point.
Well, maybe there was a rumor.
Right, I'm not sure. That's a good point. Why did the Chayyadim bavar in this point? Not sure. Good point.
Maybe there could have been still holes when there were people.
We'll get to that in a second.
So just to go back to the So he doesn't actually say.
No, he said there are those who don't. He's debunking it.
Right.
Yeah. So, but there are still people who don't say it. How do you
know that? It's
right. Only some people. I will give you a list in a second. I was very impressed. I thought I had a really good list of people who like Chemdas Yamim. Mishnei told me, there's so many more you forgot on the list. I was so impressed.
Why don't you just say it was mechabered by the Chayyadim?
Because it wasn't. Chayyadim told us it wasn't. The Chayyadim told us. No, it wasn't. He said, I takti misvarim kadmoinim.
Right, I understand. He compiled.
That's what he means. So, he's being honest. He doesn't want to take credit for something he didn't do.
No, I understand. But why doesn't the Sefes Chaim say, as per the Chayyadim, I got it from other places?
Yeah, I don't know why he doesn't.
He didn't get it from
I don't know why he doesn't just say, look at what the Chayyadim writes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess he feels that the Chayyadim.
That's the best proof.
That we use.
Tons of stuff that we do.
That we do use.
Tons.
So then why is that okay?
Ah, oh, so that's what I'm going to get to in a second. That's what I'm going to tell you. The Chemdes Yom is not treif. The Chemdes Yom is not treif. The Chemdes Yom is not treif. Now, it's interesting, the Chayyadim himself quotes Chemdes Yom. He writes, number 16. Chayyadim writes, if a person sees Keri Yom Kippur, he should be worried a whole year. Him also, Lashona, but if he makes it through the year, Muftach lo yishu ben olam haba, he should know that he's a ben olam haba. And he writes in parentheses, V'ayin tikkun, how do you fix this problem? Look at Sefer Chemdes Yom. So clearly the Chayyadim had no problem with the Sefer Chemdes Yom. He didn't think Chemdes Yom was treif, puzzle, or anything. Now, it granted, that's not why he didn't take this tefillah from Chemdes Yom. He said, I didn't use Chemdes Yom because no one knows what it's talking about. It's very esoteric, so I didn't take from there. But the Chayyadim had personally no problem.
That's why he said, because there was a tefillah that he.
Exactly. No, there is a tefillah that the Chemdes Yom says to say at this time of the. At this time. But the Chayyadim says, I don't want anyone to think that I took that. Now, maybe because he was worried that people would think it's from. I don't know. That's what the Chayyadim
said. The only reason is because the Nasan and Abid.
Yes.
Two poems.
That's the only reason why Chemdes Yom is treif. Because of two poems in a large sefer written by Nasan Hanavi. And he doesn't say it before, it spells out his name. On the beginning of each line.
That's safer.
And therefore the whole sefer becomes treif.
Now
but again, we don't know who wrote the sefer. It's just assumed that whoever wrote the sefer must have been treif because he allowed Nasan and Avi to insert two poems. Okay.
That's why we can read all Ghazi's other stuff.
That's right.
We don't know that he actually
wrote. Right, we don't blame him as the author because he's just the publisher, not the author. Now it's interesting, who doesn't say Tefillah Zakah? Anyone know anyone who doesn't say Tefillah Zakah?
Yeah, the people that can like the show.
They don't say a lot of it.
Who doesn't finish?
Who doesn't say it at all? So first of all, Yakis don't say it. Yakis don't say it. Secondly, someone told me, Sfarim say something else, we'll come back to what they say in a second. Someone told me, Slonim HaChasidim don't say it. I have a list of other people, but one of those people were Klausenberg HaChasidim.
No, the key is not to insult any of those people in that group.
No.
No, I'm saying, in other words, you want them to say Tzvil Zaka if you insult them.
That's right. It would be good for everyone. So look at number 17. This is a sefer from the practices of the Klausenberger Rebbe. Klausenberger Rebbe was a big Talmid Chacham. We speak about him often. But he was, what's important is, where's the Klausenberger come from? But I mean before. Who's his Zayde? The Divrei Chaim. The great Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, who is the father of Hasidism. I don't mean like the Baal Shem Tov. I mean, he had 17 children. Almost all the major Hasidic movements today come from him. Babov, Klausenberg, Sanz, they're all Ein HaKloch by the Divrei Chaim. When you have 17 kids and they each become a Rebbe, so it's a big Hasidus. So what's the practice of the Klausenberg Rebbe? Rabbeinu le'omah is Tefillah Zakah. Klausenberg Rebbe didn't say Tefillah Zakah. Tavos, why not? V'omah, he said, she'odif lo'imah be'es ha'zayis es ha'videh ha'godol Rabbeinu Nissim. It's better to say Rabbeinu Nissim's vidoy, or is that Tefillah from Rabbeinu Elimelech? Or to say the Tefillah from Rabbeinu Elimelech from Lezhinsk. Why would he not say it? What's wrong with Tefillah Zakah? Tavos? What's wrong with Tefillah Zakah? It's a beautiful tefillah. So I wanted to tie in a shtickle Torah that maybe like this. This might be l'shitasei. Why is it l'shitasei? So if you remember, we had a whole share about this a few years ago. Some people don't say l'davar Hashem Ayri. Yakis don't say l'davar Hashem Ayri.
I knew you were going
there. Yakis don't say l'davar Hashem Ayri. Babov doesn't say l'davar Hashem Ayri. I was once in a Babov Beis Medrash, and I looked in the Siddur. It's not even in the Siddur. Like lehoyev v'le nivra.
My understanding is this objection just came much later.
Right? Oh, so that
it's also
shnei alayim. Yeah. So I told him the shtickle Torah that I'm about to say. He was shtickle maskim to it. So the David Hashem Ayri is a controversial tefillah because it's not found anywhere early. Where the first place it appears in Mata Ephraim, which is the 1700s, which is very strange. So Yakis don't say it because there's no makar. The Gra didn't say it because there's no makar. But there were people that were adamantly against it. Not just we don't say it because there's no source. We don't say it because we don't say it. Why? So the Divrei Moshe is Moshe Halberstam. He was a big Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. Well, what's his last name? Yeah. Halberstam. What's that? That's a giveaway, right? That means he comes from Sanz. Babov is much later. I'm going to go all the way up. So if he's a Halberstam, he's an Enochel by who? By the Divrei Chaim. Okay, we're going back to Sanz. We're going back to the original, the father of Hasidism, of modern Hasidism movement. So he writes this. Babov Chasidim and Klausenberg Chasidim don't say L'davar Hashem Ayri. Why? So Moshe Halberstam says, I have a tradition in the family. Mikublani mi beis avoyse, I have a tradition in the family. Ki mikiv mashitak konas amiris amizmol davar shemayim rish chedesh el b'soif ha-tfilo. Hu menasei v'chem dasa yomim. Because this tfilo originates in chem dasa yomim. L'chein l'inogu z'kineinu ha-gayin ha-kodesh misanz l'omroi.
I thought it was David HaMelech.
No, no, David HaMelech said, wrote L'David HaShemayri. Yeah. To say L'David HaShemayri between Rosh Chodesh Elul, and now, that's in Chemdas HaYom.
Oh, inserting it.
Inserting it now comes from Chemdas HaYom. So says, Rav Moshe Halberstam, I have a tradition in the family, and he would know, he's a family member. He's an Einikl. He said, I have a tradition in the family that we don't say Tfilas, we don't want to say L'David HaShemayri. Why? Because the Zayda didn't say it. Why did the Zayda not say it? Because it's found in Chemdas HaYom. Ooh. Then he quotes a whole list of people who say the same thing, that this tefillah originates from Chemdas HaYom. So I turn it to Professor Lyman, it's now Klausenberg L'shitosai. The same reason why they don't say the David Hashem Ayri is because it's in Chemdas HaYom. That's why they don't say tefillah Zaka, because tefillah Zaka is also in Chemdas HaYom. Now what's the problem with both of the Shtickle Torah? Both of them are not true. The David Hashem Ayri doesn't come from Chemdas HaYom. If you look in Chemdas HaYomim, this is one of Professor Lyman's famous Shtickle Torahs. If you look in Chemdas HaYomim, he doesn't say it to say it the way we do it. He says he personally used to say it at a different point of davening. He would do it himself. He didn't make this like a takana for the tzibur. So that's not the original minhag was not from Chemdas HaYomim. And for Tfil Zaka, we see with our own eyes, it did not come from Chemdas HaYomim. But they think it did. Okay, so the Shita Sai, they hold. You don't say Tfil Zakai, and you don't say the David Hashemayri. At least they're consistent, they give them credit. They say whatever's in Chemdas HaYomim is treif, so whatever's in Chemdas HaYomim is treif.
And
both those things don't really.
If it's not in that.
Even though they don't really. So
it
asked,
sounds like Rav and held the concept, apparently, of Tfil
The concept of vidui. Correct.
But he said, right,
the concept of vidui, just not Tfil Zakai. Right. He was against the Tfil Zakai because he thought that came from, maybe, he thought that came from Chemdas HaYomim.
Don't like this, make that mistake.
So I asked this to Professor Lam. I said, is there anyone still today that still thinks it came from there?
Forget them. Talk about the...
Oh, so back then, they didn't have so much information. You know, today we know things. We can open. He told me that's the way Chassidim worked. They're not going to. Right, they had a tradition or someone made a mistake. Today, you can open the Chemdas HaYomim. You can read, you see? He told me that's the power of tradition. They're not going to change. That's right. Again, that's right. Okay. Talking late, eight, you know. So this is to me a stickle tire. What do you mean? That's a different reason. That's because you don't want to say Tehillim Belaila. That's a technical problem. That's not because of any major reasons. But so this is my chiddush to Shnei Alayim. I wanted to tell you this stickle tire. That's Klausenberg L'shitasa. It's those who think everything's in Chemdas HaYomim. Everything's in Chemdas HaYomim. Maybe. Now the truth is, it's all
and
fine.
Again, the Chemdas HaYomim, the whole thing that he has is two bad poems.
Two
right?
poems that were.
No, Chemdas HaYomim himself doesn't.
In that safe, there's two poems that are controversial, and those poems are not controversial. There's nothing controversial about those poems, but the author is controversial.
Are they really in there?
Yeah, no, they're there. Yeah, that must be there.
But everything else at the Chemdas HaYomim.
Everything else,
fine.
Most people. Okay, so now I'll give you a list of all the Yidden who learn Chemdas HaYomim religiously. Okay, the Prima Gadim, the Aruch HaNer, the Mat Ephraim, the Chacham Tzvi, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Okay.
Chacham
Tzvi. Oh, I'll come back to that in a second. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal Yisoid V'Shoyrish Avoid, he writes in his Hatzava to his children, make sure you learn the Chemdas HaYomim. People learn the Chemdas HaYomim like a Musa Sefer. They learn it like we learn Musa Sefer. Nachlas David. It's everything. It's tefillahs. It's got Musa. It's everything. It's packed. Minhagim. Rav Chaim Palagi. We don't know. Shnei Alarm is convinced it was written by Rabbi Al-Ghazi, but we don't know for sure. The Ben Ishchai. I know.
Everything else sounds right.
Yeah, I got it.
Wikipedia,
right?
There.
Not everything there is 100%. Okay. Who else do we have?
You remember, in Wikipedia, you can write whatever you want.
Well, they said that the Sefer was written by...
Rabbi Yaakov Emden felt that way.
No, first they said it was written by Yaakov Al-Ghazi.
It was published. It was published by Rabbi Al-Ghazi. Now, if you listen... just to finish the end of the list of people who learn it, so you have Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Rabbi Eliashiv, all the Satmar Rebbes starting back from the Heshev Moshe in the mid-1700s of Moshe Teitelbaum, Rabbi Yosef Dushinsky, who was the Eda Charedis, and I told all this, I was so impressed on my list, I told the Professor Lyman, he's like, there's so many more. So I thought this was a pretty good list I put together on my own over here.
How did you get that list?
Different Svarim, different places. But in any case, I asked Professor Lyman, this bothered me. I said, the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi was the father of Yaakov Emden. Yaakov Emden shried Chai V'Kayim that the Sefer is treif, and Chacham Tzvi endorsed it. There's a shtickle from, I found this in the Sefer, there's a shtickle from the Chacham Tzvi where he writes that he found that he had a kasha on a gemara in Brachas, and he found the teretz in Chamas Yom, and he was flying high. The sefer is fantastic; it's amazing. So I said, "How could it be?" Rabbi Yaakov was very close with his father. You have to know, Rabbi Yaakov respected his father ad libsayf. Had an amazing relationship, even to the point where one of his wives that he married only married out of respect for his father, and he ended up divorcing her. That's how much he was devoted to his father. And here, the mamish, they're in totally different worlds. So he told me, you have to understand, the Chacham Tzvi was really from the 17th century, and Yaakov was in the 18th century. So they weren't that far apart. They were father and son, you know. He didn't give me a good teretz. I didn't get a good teretz from him, why the Chacham Tzvi was pro the Sefer, Rabbi Yaakov didn't pass the Sefer. I didn't get a good teretz. To me, the teretz was insufficient, in my opinion. But in any case, today, many people learn Chemda Seyomim. You can buy it. You can have it. I have three copies on my Yitzhak Chachma with Pirushim, with commentaries, with Stickle Terrors. It's all out there. Schneider told me that there was a new, they just published it recently, another volume of Chemda. They just came out with a new one. Okay, there will be people that won't touch it. Now, it's interesting, with Moshe Bick, right, everyone knows from Moshe Bick, famous Rav, so he's an Ein Kol Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He used to say Tfilah Zaka every single Yom Kippur.
He did or did not?
Did. Now, it's not a kasha, because it could be Rabbi Yaakov Emden also said Tfilah Zaka. Again, he lived before the Vilna, he lived before the Chayodim. But the point is, no one said that Tfilah came from Chemda Sayyam. It's not a kasha. So the whole thing never really gets off the ground. Now, the truth is,
if you say your own Vidui,
that's right.
So maybe they all did that too?
That's possible.
No, but it's unbelievable historical situation, but it doesn't meet Vidui.
Part of it.
I'm saying, what do you need necessarily that tefillah?
You don't, 100%. That's why many people opted for other things. Someone told me, let's say, in other. Now, there's another reason not to say tefillah zaka, and this is not historical at all. This might be why Klausenberg doesn't say it. If you look at the Nitta Gavriel, he writes another reason from the Puppet Rebbe. The Nitta Gavriel, he's a Rav in Bar Park today. Supposedly a very, very down-to-earth person. I never met him personally. But I heard from people that he's very, you know, down-to-earth. He very understands what's going on in the world today. He wrote Nitta Gavriel. If you ever opened the Nitta Gavriel, his Mar Mekayim, I don't know where he found this stuff. Where he finds these Mar Mekayim is amazing. Yeah, I like to quote him because I quoted 2 weeks ago where he quoted from the Nefesh HaRav even. But he,
really?
Put, yeah, I mentioned this. Wow. He quoted from Nefesh HaRav, but he hid it. Wow. He wrote Nun Hey, and I knew it was Nefesh HaRav.
He's actually in hiding right now.
He wrote it Nun Hey. He wrote Ayin Sefer Nun Hey, and he quotes a whole stickle. This is on Hilchus Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned this in the show last week, and he quotes from Nefesh HaRav. He doesn't say it's Nefesh HaRav. He just says Ayin Sefer Nun Hey. Now, how many people that are reading Nitzik Gavriel know what Nun Hey is? I don't know, but I know what it was because I saw it already before Nefesh HaRav. So he quotes it over there, very fascinating. But he has these Ma'amar Kamis that are just amazing. I don't know where he comes up with these sources. This is before Yitzhak Chacham even came out, so I don't know. I can only imagine what Yitzhak Sfar must look like in his house in Bar Park. But in any case, so he writes that he's a Talmud from the Papa Rebbe. He's a Papa Chassid. So he writes there's another reason not to say Tefillah Zakai. Why? Kiven Shasham Meforish Ba'ofen Prati Avin Pigam. If you ever read Tefillah Zaka, it's very detailed. Yeah. All the Averis that we do, very detailed. So these Rebbes held that we don't want to even talk about Avera because it could bring you to do Avera. We don't talk about Avera. It's not something we talk about. We stay clear of Avera. That's why they don't say Tefillah Zaka. Not because controversy, because it's too detailed when it talks about all the.
There's a problem too then.
No, that part, detailed. Yeah, the Tefillah Zaka that he's referring to is when you talk about all the Averis you did. I did this wrong and that wrong. That's why women skip parts of it and things like that. Now, just look at the last line in Degavil. Who doesn't say Tefillah Zaka? Chabad? Karlin. Now, Karlin is a fascinating Chassidus. I didn't realize what time it was. We didn't even get to the Lundus part yet. Karlin was of Aaron Kaliner. Aaron Kaliner was one of the first Rebbes. We're talking about one of the earliest Hasidims with Karlin. The Emin Hagim are real, authentic Hasidic traditions. Baron Karlin was the Talmud of the Maggid. We're talking about real, real old Hasidism. So Baron Karlin, Bells, right? Bells didn't say Tefillah Zaka. Didn't I tell you that the Bells are ever?
Karlin, does he mean Stalin also or no?
Yeah, Karlin, Stalin, you know. It was really Baron Karlin was the start of that Hasid. So I told you, but didn't Ramosh Shtevach tell that the Bells Rebbe used to say something? Yeah, he didn't say Tefillah Zaka. He said the Vidya part. The Vidya part's okay. It's Tefillah Zaka that's controversial. Vishnitz, Square, and Ger. They don't say Tefillah Zaka.
That sounds like the majority.
That's a lot of
Hasidim, right? And Klausenberg. I'd add Klausenberg to this list.
When you said Ger, and all of a sudden,
that's a lot.
And you said Baba Volson doesn't.
I would assume. Baba doesn't say Ladovet. I don't know what they stand on. You got to ask your local. Okay, so this was the historical part. Now I want to get to the Lomdisha part with the few minutes we have left. Okay. The big kashi I mentioned to you earlier is how do you say Vidui if it's B'Yeshiva? If the whole Tefillah Zaka was a fulfillment of the Ramban, and the Ramban is doing it as Vida, there's Aloch and Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara in Yuma, number 21, that Vida needs to be done by Amida. So the vidah has to be done by midah. How do we say tefillah zakeh be yeshiva?
So maybe you just stand up for the part that you have to stand up.
So have you ever seen anyone do that?
No.
I haven't seen anyone do it. It's a pella. So this is a classic example of no one understanding what they're doing. If you understood what you were doing, you'd say to yourself, why am I sitting for this? This is a vidah. Vidah has to be done by midah. So if you look at the next page, I'm going to go through this very quickly because it's already way over our zman. The prichodesh be'etim asks kash. If you've ever been to a Sfardi Sheminyan or you know Sfardi, what do they say before Ma'ariv? L'cha'ilei tishukasi. It's a beautiful tefillah. They sing it. There's different versions of it. So they say that. That's also a vidui. So the prichodesh says that's what we do. In the Sfardi communities, we say this tefillah. And he says you should do it standing. Because if you want to get the Ramban's vidui, you have to do vidui standing. So in number 23, in the Sefer Hilchas Chag B'Chag, Rav Moshe Karp points out the same observation. He says if you're going to be machmeh for the Mishnah Berurah, who's machmeh for the Shlah, who's machmeh for the Ramban, that you're trying to get a vidah in before Yom Kippur. So first of all, you got to say it at the right time, and secondly, you got to do it by midah because vidah needs to be done by midah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, but the Prima Gadim is mesubik. If you do vidah b'smicha, let's say you're doing vidah. This is nageya all over Yom Kippur, guys. If you do vidah while leaning on your shtender, leaning on your table, Prima Gadim is mesubik. If you were yetz, because if it got to be done by midah, smicha means if I take the thing away, you'll fall.
Why does it happen?
We're going to come to that in a few minutes. Yeah, anytime you need something about midah, if you do it be yeshiva, you're not yoitza, or besmicha. So, Frechter, Moshe Karp, it's really the kash of the pichadosh, why don't we do it by midah? So both Yakut Yosef and Shmuel Kamenetsky both basically downplay this kash. They say, it's nishkin kasha. You know, we don't really paskin like the Ramban. Since we don't really paskin like the Ramban, so like, don't lose sleep over it. Now, so that bothers me, because memonashach, you know, once you're going to do it right.
Right.
I'm running this half-baked job over here. We're going to be choshev for the Ramban, but we're not really going to get the Ramban. Like, so Yakut Yosef writes, yeah, that's why most people don't really chap they're doing vidya. They're just thinking that it's just like a tefillah. So then the whole thing is, so let's do it right, no? So both Yakut Yosef and the Kovitz Halachos of Shmuel Kamenetsky basically wants to say it's not a kasha, don't lose sleep over it, don't get so stressed about it. But Ibi Rucham Olshin,
don't stand up either.
And yeah, you don't have to bother yourself, right? Ruchem Olshin was a Rosh Hashiva, so this stuff doesn't apply. If you're a real Rosh Hashiva, this stuff is not going to work for you. These are Tehrim. What do you mean? Come on. It's got to make sense in Lundus. So Ruchem Olshin has a following Shtickle Tehrim. He says like this. There's another kasha on the Ramban. The first kasha in the Ramban is how do you justify Vidoy B'Yeshiva instead of Amidah. But the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim has another kasha. The kasha is number 26. The koshli the pirush Ramban. The pirush tzarich shisvad the koydim shekabel al yom kippurim v'hu vidui she'enoy samach l'tfila. We mentioned earlier that all the vidui that we say are always near Shemen Esrei, either in the Shemen Esrei in Chavash Hashatz. Where do you ever find a vidui in the middle of nowhere? So first the tzarich yom kippurim v'alei kol aviduim shayom kippurim heim smuchim l'tfila. They all have to be close to tfila. So how do you have a vidui over here that's not samach l'tfila? That's the second kashan. So Biruch Moshe wants to say the following yisoid. He wants the taina based on the Yerayim. Very important Yerayim, number 28. 27 we'll have to come back to maybe a different time. The Yerayim writes like this. Why do we do Vida in Yom Kippur? Tavos, why do we do Vida in Yom Kippur? So the Yerayim says that the Vida that we do in Yom Kippur is a byproduct of the Vida that the Kohen Gadol used to do on Yom Kippur. That's the whole Vida. The Vida that we do on Yom Kippur is not about tshuva necessarily, but the Vida that we do is to commemorate the Vida that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. Memela says, Rabbi Rucham Olshin, it was about tshuva, but it's not like the vidya you do about a person before he's about to die. So Meir Zot Yerucham Olshin like this, very geshmak. It says Lefi Zeh, the vidya on Yom Kippur is always tailored after the vidya of the Kohen Gadol. Meir, that's why the vidya has to be done in tefillah, because where did the Kohen Gadol do the vidya on the Karbanos? Karbanos can respond to tefillah. Mm-hmm. Therefore, says Yerucham, it's very geshmak that all the vidyas that we do have to correlate to the davening. But what about the vidya before Yom Kippur? But vidui before Yom Kippur, there was no the Kohen Gadol didn't do carbon.
Right.
And Mela, he says that vidui is taka a different type of vidui. Uh-huh. It's a vidui and tshuva.
No, Friday, not at night.
Which one?
In
my room. Right, exactly. So
forget before.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. So for that one, the Nitziv has a shtickle Torah how he wants to answer that one up. But Zokti Biruchim, that one before the one even by Myriv.
There's no carbon
benayit. There's no smicha. So Rabbi Rucham wants to say this. The Ramban holds there's two types of vidui. There's the vidui on Yom Kippur, which is mimicking the Kohen Gadol's vidui. That needs to be done b'hamida. That needs to be done toich tefillah. But the vidui that we do on Erev Yom Kippurim, that was a vidui on its own. A vidui for the sake of vidui for tshuva. And that doesn't have to have the rules of b'hamida. And that doesn't have to have the rules of toich teshmar esri. And he says, I'll bring you a raya. The Mishnah Berurah says, based on a Torah, that there's 10 vidui that we say over Yom Kippur. The 10 are supposed to correspond to the 10 of the Kohen Gadol. Where do you come up with 10? So the Mishnah Berurah says, I'll tell you the 10. You have four of Shachris, Mosaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah. Two of Chazar Shashatz times two is eight. And where's the other two? Mm-hmm. You have Mincha Erev Yom Kippur and Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur. Frekti Sharatzin, what about the one by Slichas, Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur after Shemoneh Esrei? Why does that one not count? So Sharatzin, there's another Vida that we say on Yom Kippur night. In the Slichas. So why is that not one of the numbers? Says the Sharatzin, because that's not in Tefillah. So says Yibiruchim, beautiful.
And the one before, right?
The one is in the Shemoneh Esrei. Says Yibiruchim, a vidur not in tefillah is a different lumdus. That's not because of the Kohen Gadol. That's because of Stamazeh. And therefore says Yibiruchim, now the Ramban is beautiful.
No, that's the one in tefillah Zaka, or
exactly. The and therefore, Zokti Yibiruchim, it's not Stam that the Velt is just lazy. You don't have to. Because the din of Ba'amida is connected to that. Now, it's a beautiful Shukhtar. I have one kasha. It doesn't sound like that in the Mishnah Berurah. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, when the Mishnah Berurah explains on page 2, why do you have to do Vida Ba'amida? What does he write? Number 22. Mu'umid, tahachi yahavi derech hachnot feyu misvad belev shalom. Number 22, right corner. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why do we do Vida Ba'amida? Because that way you're more humbled, and you'll do a better Vida with more heart. If that's the Svara, I don't see why it should matter. Why are you doing the Vida?
He's commenting here on...
It doesn't sound like
we're
it's
talking
a
about or some vidu.
No, Prima Gadim said it's Ma'akiv. Yeah. He's talking about the vidu that we do with the whole Yom Tov, the whole Yom Kippur.
So is he including what we're now trying to talk about?
So I would have assumed, based on this wording, no reason why I shouldn't include the vidu that we do for tshuva purposes also.
Why it shouldn't
be? It should.
It should.
Meaning you should
not include.
You should have to stand for that also. But this is Rabbi Yerucham Olshan Shtogotari. You want to be Miyashiv the Minig. So again, we discussed the halachic and the lumdus behind. Okay, we should all try to say something. At least try to do some form of Vidoy to be Mekayim the Shita of the Ramban.